So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, I was on silent retreat for a while. I got back this past Thursday. So I went out to Pennsylvania. Before that, there's a priest there that I wanted to connect with. So I'd meet with him for about 40 or 45 minutes a day. And then we'd have Mass together with him and a few other people as well. And then the rest of the time was just pretty much silent and prayer. And it was a little bit of a challenge to enter in. And even in the first, well, I shut off my cell phone, of course, and just everything just kind of shut off. Even when I didn't have my cell phone with me, I find myself just like reaching into my pocket for to check it when it wasn't even there. A lot of little things like that, where it took me a few days to kind of just calm my body and soul a little bit and just listen to God. But it was very good and very refreshing just to recognize who I am before God, before anything else really in the world. Just recognize that deepest truth, that I am created in God's love from Him and for Him. And just a refreshing time. And in saying that, I would encourage any of you, I know there are opportunities sometimes for silent retreats. I know that can seem very kind of daunting to some of us at times, but even for a weekend, just for 2 or 3 days, but they can be challenging, of course, but it was a very, very refreshing time overall. But difficult too, at times. And think of our first reading, even when God calls Samuel, a very warm passage that we heard when God calls out, "Samuel, Samuel." And of course, right away, he doesn't recognize his voice. Only after a few times when his teacher Eli says, "Well, that's really God speaking to you." And it sounds really nice from what we hear. Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But what we don't hear is actually the message that God gives to Samuel. It's not an easy message. God tells him that his instructor, Eli, has overlooked the sins of his own family, of his own sons. And because he overlooked those sins, God was going to bring punishment to that place. We didn't hear that, but that was the message that Samuel was dealt with. And we think about just what God tells us a lot of times. It's easy to overlook those things, to not have the difficult conversations. And so this morning, I would like to have a difficult, in a sense, conversation, or I'm the only one really doing the talking, but just bring up a difficult topic. And it's one that is sometimes just overlooked in our church and in our culture. But we have to at least think about it. And that is the church's teaching on contraception. It's not a popular thing, and it's not an easy thing for us to think about and examine. But I'd like to first just talk about how it started. Up until the early 1900s, pretty much all Christian denominations said that in no cases should contraception be okay. That the love aspect of that unitive act must always be open to life. And this was something that the church has held up until about the 1930s. And at this point, as technologies got better and more advanced, some of the Protestant denominations said, well, in some cases, it's okay. And it only really took a few decades before most Protestant denominations said in pretty much all cases, it's okay. And so the question was, okay, is the Catholic Church going to go along with this teaching? Are they going to seize these technologies that the world offers us? And it was a question that people had, but it came down to Pope Paul VI, actually. This was 50 years ago this year, so it was in 1968. 50 years ago, he came out with a document, Humanae Vitae. And in there, he said not only is that contraception wrong, but he also gave a few, in a sense, like prophecies on what would happen, because many said that this was the way of the future, this was the way of freedom, this was going to be the answer to what our culture is struggling with. But he said, rather than making things better, it would make them worse. Rather than increasing the love between spouses, that it was going to increase marital infidelity. He also said that in general, and especially for the youth, that immorality would increase. And lastly, he said that men will forget the reverence and respect due to women. I'm a priest, and sometimes I think I live under a rock, but even I just can read the headlines and know that too many times in our culture have men shown disrespect and irreverence that women need and deserve. Whether this is our own presidents, or sometimes our own priests, even in taking advantage of their power, sports figures, sometimes just ordinary people on the street, of course, or even Hollywood celebrities, as we have more often seen recently. Because in our minds, we have disconnected that unitive act, that love is open to life. We slowly begin as a culture to think that it's something that I am able to take. And this from a young age, more and more of our youth are formed with. And then eventually they just think that, okay, I can just use my power. When I become old, I can just use what I can to gain from my own sexuality. Contraception removes God from that intimate act between a man and a woman. I am not saying it is easy. It is very difficult. And of course, God's not all calling you to have 15 kids. And so the church says that not having 15 kids, of course, is okay. But in that, in looking at natural family planning, and really looking at how a woman's body works, and just very carefully evaluating things in a scientific way, there are ways that are effective with natural family planning that are just as effective as any form of contraception would be, that respect how God created the woman's body and respects that intimate act. And of course, this is a challenge that married couples and couples in general, of course, have to face. It's not really a challenge that me as a single celibate man has to face. I, of course, have different challenges in this area. But God calls each one of us to chastity. He calls us to be open just to His plan for love and union in our lives. It's not an easy thing, and cannot be done without prayer. And we turn to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist today, who gives us His body, who shows us at times what love looks like. It's very challenging, and has been so challenging, in fact, that even some voices in the church sometimes say, nah, ordinary people, they shouldn't be expected really to have that heroic virtue that it takes to follow God's plan. But I don't think so. I think every one of us is called to heroic virtue, even in times where it is very, very difficult and challenging. And I know this, of course, is very controversial, and not everyone agrees with me, but I just ask that you think about it and pray about it, and just be more open to God's call for us. And all of us have our own challenges, of course, in this area of chastity. And we just remember to keep all of us in prayer. We do not want a culture that uses sexuality or that disrespects women. We want a culture that uses that gift that God made us to bring us closer together, closer to one another, and closer to God Himself. We come before Jesus Christ and ask for His help.